Okay, Hebrews 9. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, and first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost this signifying, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks, and diverse washings, and carnal ordinances, imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats, and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats, with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the holy priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Amen.
Well, what I want to talk about this morning is baptism, or the pattern of baptism. How we got what it is today, where it was, the pattern of it. I believe today in the baptism, the one baptism of the Spirit. One Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And if we just look at baptism from the Gospels, and it gets very confusing. And it's hard to be a good witness to someone if you can't explain. It's just too easy, the way I was brought up, to say, to been told, well, the baptism of the Acts period is another dispensation. Today we have one baptism, one Spirit. And some of the confusion, if you just read the baptisms in the Acts period, they baptized for the remission of sins, they baptized to receive the Holy Ghost, they baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they baptized to be saved. And if we want to understand baptism better, we need the whole formula. We need to understand what the purpose is. It's like opening up a math book and a new grade in math, and you open it up to the middle, and you can't work the problem. So if we look at it, we need to look at it from the first century Jews' point of view. What were they looking for? What was the idea of it? John was baptizing for the remission of sins, and that was not a new idea. Isaiah was, he had a hot coal pressed to his lips for the remission of sins. Jeremiah is told that God told him, I got a device against you. I'm going to plan a device against you unless people turn around and repent. Remission of sins was not new. John was baptizing for the remission of sins. They were getting ready for a kingdom. John's job was to make the way straight, get the people ready. King is coming. And the whole purpose of the king and the kingdom is we're going to have a kingdom of priests, and they're going to minister to the nations around them. The baptism was not a new thing, a new concept. The priest came to John the Baptist, and they didn't say, what is baptism? What are you doing? They said, why are you baptizing? In whose name are you baptizing? What's going on? We got to take an answer back to the head priest. And he said, are you Isaiah? No, not Isaiah. Are you that other prophet? No, I'm not him. The other prophet is predicted in Deuteronomy. There's going to be another prophet before the kingdom's set up. He's going to be, in like Moses was, somebody that people are going to know, look up to, and listen to before the kingdom time. And they knew this, and they seen him baptizing. And are you that other prophet? And he said, no. Nope, I'm making the way straight. Baptizing for the remission of sins. And John was turning a ritualistic act into a moral act. But baptism was not a new thing at this time. The earliest baptisms in Scripture was in Job. Job was plunged into a ditch trying to get clean. Nebuchadnezzar, He took on the mental illness because he scoffed God, and he wandered around like an animal, and his back was wet from the dew of heaven. That was called a baptism. But the earliest patterns that I'm concerned with today are in the law of Moses. And as Tim read earlier, we're told that these are patterns of heaven. The way worship is performed in heaven, patterns of things to come. There's 9 references in the Old Testament of baptisms and washings. They washed the lepers. They took the hyssop and sprinkled blood with it. They're all references to baptisms. And why did they do these? Moses was told to take Aaron and wash him up, wash their clothes, wash them, clean them before they go into the holy place. Well, they were told to. They believed what God said. That's why they did it. They believed. It's not any different than Cain and Abel. They were told how to bring in an offering. One believed, one didn't. One was accepted, one wasn't. So these first century Christians, they weren't looking for a heavenly position. They were looking for their kingdom, their king. There is three references in the New Testament referencing Old Testament baptisms. They're pretty interesting. And in these three references, they explain most of the problems that I brought up earlier. The remission of sins, be baptized to be saved, receive the Holy Spirit. These three references, the first one's in 1 Peter. And it's referencing Noah. Noah and his ark, it was a baptism, we're told, which sometime were disobedient when the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that's eight souls, were saved by water. It's the like figure whereunto baptism does also save us, putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, what saved Noah and those eight souls? The ark? Is that what saved them? Well, yeah, yes, it did. You could argue this back and forth all day long. Ark saved them, but why did they have the ark? It's because they believed what they were told. They believed what God told them. It was that faith acted out in the building of the ark. Peter says, the like figure does also save us now. If you just read that without thinking it through, it makes it sound like we have to be baptized to be saved. This baptism that Peter was talking about was an acting out of the faith. Just like Noah did. He believed, he acted. They believed what Peter was saying, be baptized, and they acted. The other reference to the Old Testament baptisms, 1 Corinthians 10:2, and they was baptized unto Moses. They was baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea. The people of Israel came up to the Red Sea. They was out of Egypt. Here they were faced with the Egyptian army behind them, the Red Sea in front of them. Here's Moses, God's man. You can believe what I'm telling you. God told me to tell you we're going through that dry spot in the Red Sea. Here it is. That's called a baptism. This was called a baptism on dry ground. Again, faith is what saved them. They had to believe and act. The other reference to an Old Testament baptisms in Hebrews 9:10. And that's basically telling us there, Tim's read it earlier, that those divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation, Christ comes as a high priest of good things to come, made more perfect, not by hands. These washings could not make you perfect. It took Christ on the cross to do that, not the baptism. These patterns are taking shape here in the Acts period. They were told to do it, they acted upon it, and they did it. Why was Jesus baptized? I was told for a long time that it was for an example for us. I did it, now you do it. I couldn't find that in the scripture. John the Baptist was baptizing. Christ comes along and John said, there's one coming that I'm not worthy to even unlatch his sandal. Jesus comes along and he says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it by me, it be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. So he says to John, let it happen. suffer it by me. Let it happen, John. Baptize me, John. Let it happen. It needs to be so now, for thus it becomes us. It's our duty. It's our duty, John. It's your duty as God's man of this dispensation. It's your duty to baptize me. And I'm trying to fulfill all righteousness. All righteousness of the law. They were looking, the people were looking for their kingdom. They were looking for their priest. They were looking for a priest in the order of Melchizedek. They were looking for their king. There's a whole lot more that could be said here, but this is like a holy anointing from heaven, identifying Jesus with man, and he was fulfilling his righteous duty. So we have baptism in the Old Testament. It's a pattern. They were told to do it. They believed. They did do it. You come up to the Acts period. They were told to do it. They did do it. It was for different reasons. Today, these patterns are patterns in heaven to come. They were being baptized into the kingdom that was going to come. They were told to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, go out into the nations. That never happened. They never finished that. Paul says, I feel like I was born out of time. One born out of my time. I was the only one baptized in there for a minute, he's saying. I'm glad I only baptized Gaius and Crispus, because there's too much emphasis being put on this right now, because the kingdom didn't come into place. They were going to go out and baptize. They were having their tongues so they could talk to these other nations. They were getting set up to go out and minister to these nations. They rejected the Savior. The kingdom got put in abeyance. Jesus wasn't sitting on a throne behind them, backing them up. That all got put on hold. Today, Galatians tells us that progress just a little bit further. That baptism was a great leveling among men, unifying. There's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male or female. We're all one in Christ Jesus. That's what baptism was. Ephesians 2, 5, and 6 tells us today we're dead in sins. We've been quickened this up together with Christ. By grace we're saved. Made us sit together in heavenly places. In the ages to come, we might show the exceeding riches of his grace, kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. I'm baptized today into the kingdom of his dear Son, not the kingdom on earth. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear sons, Colossians tells us. So, if you want to get baptized today, go ahead. I won't make fun of you. I've been baptized twice, besides baptized by the Spirit. I don't think I knew any better. I was trying to do the right thing. It's like my son, when he was 2 or 3 years old, I asked him to pick up his socks and put them in the drawer. Well, he picked up his socks. He picked up his dirty socks. He picked up his toys. He threw everything in there. I couldn't get mad at him. I just looked at him, and he was trying. He was doing what he thought he was told. So I think that's the way God looks at us today on baptism. People are scared. They don't have confidence. They don't have faith enough. They've never had the word rightly divided to where they understood it. How can you take a chance? Better get baptized if you don't understand it. You think you're doing the right thing. I was trying to explain this to my children and to some loved ones, and I think to be an effective witness, we need to understand the pattern of baptism and what it was in the Old Testament is a pattern of things to come. They were told to do it. That's why they did it. They believed. Acts period baptism, same thing. They baptized for many reasons. Remission of sins. getting ready for the kingdom, receive the Holy Spirit so they could speak in tongues and administer to these nations. Many reasons. Today I'm baptized through the Spirit. They were showing you, they were being baptized to show their faith and receive. I'm baptized today in the Spirit, and I can show you my faith too by the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And I use that Spirit that He has given me as an earnest as I walk daily. That's how I show you my faith today. This clear as mud, or how does it sound? Any questions or comments on it? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Son has provided us a way. We thank You for Your Spirit. We pray these things in His name. Amen.